This next session, P's and Q's, Prospecting and Qualification, contains such tremendously valuable material. So concentrate.
P's and Q's, Prospecting and Qualification. These are two of the arts of selling. And yet they're an essential and basic part of the armament of all great salesmen. Let's start discussing this subject called prospecting. Selling is first of all a matter of numbers. The more people you see, the more sales you make, period. Maybe I can illustrate it this way. A very close friend of mine is the world's greatest health and accident insurance salesman. Fabulous and wonderful character. This guy, every day of his life, for 40 solid years, sold more business in one day than a competent health and accident insurance salesman sold in a month. Every day, he sold more than a good man would sell in a month. And whenever there was a convention of H&A insurance men, this man would be surrounded about 14 deep. And people would always say, "How do you do it? What's your secret?" And he'd always start out by telling them it's lies. And then when he got that out of his system, he'd tell them the truth. He'd say, "Look, you amateurs, I've been kicked out of more places by 10 o'clock in the morning than you get into all day long." And that happened to be true. The typical health and accident insurance salesman in America makes 4 calls a day. This man, every day for 40 years, made 23 calls a day. It couldn't be done. But this man did it for 40 consecutive years and wound up a multimillionaire. Numbers. That's the name of the business. Numbers. The more people you see, the more sales. You know, commercial industrial salesmen build what they call a route. And they work that route so long that that route becomes a rut. And they keep in that route rut of theirs so long that it gets so deep that they can't see over the edges of it. They spend their lives calling in people week after week and month after month. First of all, it's dull. Secondly, it cripples income. And thirdly, it eliminates an enormous opportunity for keeping sales skills alive. There's nothing more fun to do than to approach and sell new people, new prospects. In the automotive, real estate, securities, large appliance, and other types of big ticket sales, we have salesmen who are infected with a deadly disease. We call it assitis. They've been sitting on things so brains have settled. So let's examine professional methods of creating numbers. The first system that we're going to examine here is a system that's a common denominator between all great salesmen of every kind and type of product. I'm sure that every salesman in this room, every salesman who's ever sold has been told by his sales manager, "Get referrals, get referrals, get referrals." And the salesman was motivated. So he went out, he made a sale. When he finished making that sale, he said to the people he just sold, "Hey, do you know anybody who could use this product as well as you can?" And they looked at him kind of blankly and said, "I can't think of anybody." Well, the next time he made a sale, he was still motivated. He asked the same question again. They said, "I can't think of anybody." And he did this 2 times. And finally, he decided, as you have, that referral prospecting is no good. There's nothing wrong with referral prospecting, but the only problem is what you are doing with it. Now let me explain to you in detail the referral system as major professional salesmen use it. Whenever you have finished making a sale, get rid of that old idea that you have to immediately get up and leave. Stay there and get referrals. But you get them this way. I want you to take out 5 3x5 file cards. Put them in front of you. Now we're going to reach for 5 referrals. No more than 5. Don't ever go for more than 5 at any one time or you'll wreck it. Start this way. Turn to the man and say, are you involved in any type of group participation sports? Do you bowl? Anything of that kind? And he says, yeah, I bowl. The last time you were bowling, was there anyone there who could profit from, now name your product, the way you're going to? Now, how many faces have you given him to look at? Huh? 4 or 5. Now, when he can look at 4 or 5 faces, actually visualize those faces, the odds are he can make a choice. Now, if he gives you a name, write it down and set the card aside. Then you again, turning to the man, might say, how about those people you normally lunch with? Is there anyone there? Now again, you've given him a very limited number of faces to look at. You see what we're doing here? The problem you had in the past was the problem that you made him look at the whole world. Who do you know? And he couldn't visualize faces. That was too many. So now we're going to break the people they know into small groups so that they can actually visualize faces. When they can visualize faces, the odds are they will be able to come up with some referrals. Then you might say to him, how about the people you spend most of your time with at work? Is there anyone there? Are you a member of a service club of any kind? The last time you attended one of their meetings, was there anyone at your table? And again, he's now looking at 5 to 7 faces. Now, each time you get a name, you write it on the top of a card, and you set that card aside. And you could do the same thing turning to Mama and say, are you a member of any type of woman's organization? Bridge club, woman, anything of that kind? The last time your group got together, was there one there? How about the parents of the children your children play with? Anyone there? How about your immediate neighbors? Anyone there? And you keep subdividing the people they know into small groups until you get names. Now, when you get the 5 names, you stop. Now you've got 5 cards, each one has a name on it. You don't have prospects yet, do you? The next step. If they're in your office, you take out a phone book. If you're in their home, you ask them for their phone book. And then you say to them, will you find the addresses and phone numbers of these 5 people? And now they help you find the addresses and the phone numbers. So now you've got 5 cards with name, address, and telephone number on them. You still don't have prospects, do you? All right, the next step. Now you spread these 5 cards out in front of the people you just sold. And you say to them, if you were me, which one of these people would you call on first? Now, when they identify one for you, put a little number 1 on it and ask them this question. Why? Now, in answering why, what are they going to tell you? Qualifications. They're going explaining to you why these people should be interested. And during the process of their answering your why, you can then fact find. By the way, how large is their family? How old would you say their children are? What kind of a job does he have? Where does he work? What kind of an automobile do they have? You can keep asking questions while explaining why. Now what have you got? A semi-qualified prospect. Fine, I'll set that card aside. See? Well, I thank you. Which one shall I call on next? Put a little two on it. Why? Fact find. And go through all five cards this way. What do you have now? Yeah, five semi-qualified prospects where you have factual information. Okay, now I'm going to test your guts. And by the way, if you don't have guts, get out of selling anyway, because we have no place for you. Now pick up the card on which you wrote number one. Hand it to him and say, why don't you call this man right now? Tell him I'm on my way. Now, if he calls him, what is he going to tell him? He's going to tell him about the decision he just made, and he's going to be very enthusiastic about it, isn't he? You see, what he wants to do now is to justify the decision he just made by getting someone else to make the same decision. We all do that. Now, I'll tell you something fascinating. If he makes that first call, he'll make the other four. And now what do you have? Five appointments with pre-qualification. Now, how can you do better than that? Tell you what your odds will be. 40% of the time, he will not make that phone call. What have I just told you? 60% of the time he will. How would you like to go to Las Vegas with those odds? Now, here is another interesting factor. That 40% will now make you a trade. Because with that 40%, you say, well, then you don't mind if I use your name, do you? And they will almost always say, you can use my name. Because they just refused you, so now they have to be nice. But if you'd started out by saying, may I use your name, the odds are they would have said no. And one other great value to this. If you get these people to set up those appointments for you to call their friends, how are these people going to be able to call you tomorrow and tell you that they have changed their mind? No way. You have confirmed the sale you just made, haven't you? So this is what we call the five-card system. And it is the basic prospecting system of all of the major big-time pros that I know, regardless of product. This is why they always have people to call on. And I want to tell you something. There is no salesman that exists who can live through any single day without spending a specific number of hours during that day building an inventory of people to call on. Because if you don't have semi-qualified people to call on, you're out of business. Five-card referral system. It works.
A major point that I've always made in my training sessions, where I've taught the five-card referral system process, was that from the moment you meet a future client, which is what we call a prospect now, your attitude has to be one that you're going to give such service, such follow-up, such attention to detail, that when you ask for those referrals, you have earned not only the right to ask, but earn the referral because you have given, and if you give, you have the right to receive. And many of your clients will feel like they may want to help you now. So make it a goal from the moment you meet a person that could be a future client that you are going to do such a great job with, that you'll be a salesperson like they've never met before. You'll earn the right to ask for those 5 pre-qualified referred leads. And when you master this system, please hear it over and over again. Tailor make it to you. But when you get those 5 qualified leads, you're going to double and triple your income because you're working with people that will say yes to your proposal.
Are there any other systems of gaining referrals? Oh, of course there are. It's absolutely impossible for a salesman to pick up a newspaper and not find prospects in it. I don't care what your product is. Anytime you pick up a newspaper, you can find prospects. And any salesman who reads a newspaper, felt tip pen in his hand, is not a salesman. Let me illustrate this. There was a very large article on the front page of the sports section of the newspaper in my hometown a few years ago. And this enormous article told about one of our local heroes, a young man who had been the highest bonus baby in baseball the year a major league ball club picked him up. And this article specified the fact that he had a $125,000 bonus as a rookie for signing. And then it went on that for playing in the World Series, he had received an $18,000 bonus. And the article went on to say that he was going to permanently live in Phoenix. It talked about his wife, his dog, the fact that he was fond of sports cars. And this article appeared a couple of weeks after it appeared. He came over to my house. I'd known him for a long time. And when he came in, I said, "Man, after that article appeared, you must have had a lot of salesmen nailing you." And he looked me, and he looked at me and grinned and said, "Oh, not so many, Doug." Well, I said, "How many?" "Oh," he said, "about 20. Well, I said, "How many real estate salesmen called?" He said, "None." "Do you think this man was a prospect for real estate?" I said, "How many automobile salesmen called on you?" He said, "None." "Do you think he was a prospect for an automobile?" I said, "What kind of salesman called on you?" He said, "All 20 were insurance salesmen." But why is it that you as salesmen can look at a newspaper and see a legitimate prospect and not go after it? Where is your hunger for profit? Now, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of salesmen in the Phoenix area read that particular article, but I do that it had to be hundreds of thousands of them. And 20 of them, all insurance men, only 20 made the contact. Strange, isn't it? How you can walk right past prospects. Strange, isn't it, the way you ignore them? So learn to read a news with a felt tip pen in your hand, because any news article that talks about an individual who has a new job, a better job, has been moved in, whose family has expanded or contracted, has come into money one way or another, is a prospect for a salesman. And any salesman who understands the business understands that. And so when he sees that type of thing, he clips it out of the paper sends it to the individual involved, congratulating him for the fact that his name did appear in the paper. Now, you know this man went out and bought 100 copies, but he still likes somebody else read it. So you send it to him with a letter of congratulations, and then follow it up. This is prospecting.
Reflecting back on the original truth that our business is a matter of numbers, in essence, anyone in the newspaper who is experiencing change, who is contacted in the form of a letter with the article, and I used to write it this way, "Congratulations, I saw you in the news." Now, if it was an achievement that you found in the paper about this person you're sending this letter to, if it is something positive, you would say, "You should be very proud of your accomplishment," or "You should be very proud about relocating here," if it was a move-in, a company or a person that's transferring into your area. Then I would say, "I'm in the community and I look forward to meeting you in the near future." That sets it up for the call. Now, when you call them, let them know that you're the one that sent them their article in the paper that you found. Let them know that you're in business in the community. You were hoping you could just pop by and visit and just say hello. And that's what we do today. We don't call and set big appointments and try to take people to lunch. We just kind of pop by. You see, it's threatening. It also has the feeling like you're going to pop in and pop out and not waste a lot of valuable time, which people are so afraid about wasting time today. So let's continue.
Now, another fascinating form of prospecting we call PND. PND. Now, all PND means is the people next door. Now, this is based on assumption. Most people live in neighborhoods where their neighbors are very much like they are. We tend to live with people who are like us. Therefore, if you sell into a neighborhood, the odds are that there are other people in that immediate area who are like the people you just sold to and have the same want. Might just as well find a way to get to them. And how do you use this PND? Well, let me give you an example. Many years ago, I was involved in the total reorganization of the entire sales staff and methods of a major insurance company. And during this time, this was an H&A company, we tried this experiment. Whenever a claim check was, he didn't send it to the claimant, we gave it to the salesman to hand-deliver. But he always delivered it to the wrong door. He would walk up to the door right next door to them, and he'd ring the doorbell. And Mom would come to the doorbell, and the salesman would hold up this check and say, "Mrs. Smith, here is your $3,500. Well, now she would say, "I'm not Mrs. Smith." He'd say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Where does Mrs. Smith live?" "Oh, right next door. By the way, would you like to know why Mrs. Smith is getting this $3,500? Do you think he got in?" We had only one trouble. They'd wear out the claim checks. They'd go all the way back with them. We'd have to reissue them. Query. What can you come up with that you could deliver to the wrong door? Now, even with a commercial industrial salesman, this will work. Because in many cases, the commercial industrial salesman is selling to one department, an organization, and is not taking advantage of the sales he could make into another department. So he could use this same PND formula by delivering it to the wrong department. Powerful system. What can you deliver to the wrong door? I know one young man who is the world's greatest specialist in single working girl sales. This is a man who sells cookware to unmarried gals. And he operates what he calls the nest principle. What he does with the nest principle is this. He breaks in to a nest of stewardi by selling one stewardess. And once he sells that one stewardess, he moves through every friend she has until he has made every sale possible in that nest. And then he'll break his way into a major firm in their stenographic department. And he'll be a stenographer. And now he moves through everyone she knows until again he has sold everyone in that nest. And there's no one you as a salesman are going to talk to who doesn't have a group of friends. And that group of friends constitutes a nest. And it's your obligation to move it and get all the sales there are there. Prospecting, finding people to sell to, this is the absolute, total measurement of anything you might do as a salesman. Because regardless of your skills in selling, if you don't have the people to practice those skills on, you're not going to make much money as a salesman, are you?
Right now, take your pen, and I hope you're taking notes as you listen to this program, and write down the areas in your industry, in your community, that you could build these nests of people. As Doug mentioned, one flight attendant is excited with the product. The next thing you know, she's referring you to others and so on. I call it sphere of influence. Groups of people that they know, that they have influence with, that they're willing to refer to you. It's a tremendous source of business.
This is the end of this side. Please turn the tape over